Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road, or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough already. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Now commencing.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
So far, so good.
With guest host, Jim Jackson.
I like it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We all learned a lot about these teams, and here it is.
You've got to be kidding me. Caitlin Clark.
Today's guests, Turner Sports play-by-play announcer Brian Anderson, two-time national championship head coach Jay Wright, veteran NBA head coach and analyst Stan Van Gundy, and now, sitting in for Rich, Jim Jackson.
Well, well, well. Who would have thought that an Ohio State Buckeye would be hosting someone from Michigan in this show? What is the world coming to?
Right?
Huh?
First time for everything, Jim.
It is. It is, but it's a great time for everything, too. What's up, fellas? What's going on?
What's up, man? Great Jim? To see you.
Good to see you.
Steve, thanks for being here.
Come on. Been looking forward to this, man, for a while.
You know, had they not won that natty, this probably wouldn't have happened. You know, but
that's
not,
right. Rich was in a good
mood. Now Rich says it with his chest so much.
I know. But you know, I said this about the rivalry. When Jim Harbaugh took over and it was kind of a fill-out period where Ohio State was dominating, I didn't think it was great for the rivalry because right. You just kind of knew what was going to happen. But since it's kind of turned the tables, it made for a great conversation. Competitive nature in the Big Ten, but it also, I think, helps the Big Ten from the perspective when Michigan is good, Ohio State is good. Nationally, the shine and the spotlight is on the Big Ten. So you kind of need both of those teams being very competitive and kind of going back and forth. And this is coming from a diehard Buckeye who doesn't like to lose, of course, to Michigan. But, you know, congrats to Michigan, the team up north, so to speak.
Were you rooting for them?
Actually, you know what? Actually, when a Big Ten team actually competes in the tournament, whether it's basketball or football, I root for them.
Okay.
Even that school.
Oh,
because you know, it's always this thing with the Big Ten about not winning. Okay, not winning the big game sometimes. And so I pull for Big Ten teams. I remember when Trey Burke was playing for Michigan, and they played Louisville in the national championship. I had a Michigan shirt on.
That was 2013.
Because Trey grew up with my son. My son grew up, and they play AAU together. So for me to support Trey, it didn't matter that it was Michigan. I covered the guys all year, and I was just happy that they were in that situation. So I'll pull for them. A lot now, I get a lot of slack. Like, I can't believe you were with the Buckeyes and you pulling for
it. Yeah, I said, exactly.
Bro, it's not that serious, man. Not that serious. So what we got going on today, fellas? There's a lot of stuff in the news right now. A lot of sports.
A lot happened.
Last night? Yesterday? Women's Elite Eight?
So good.
How good was it?
It's funny thing. How good was it? You saw the kind of the buildup on social media and throughout the articles and stories and all the shows throughout the day. You know, is this the greatest, most anticipated women's sporting matchup ever? And I was thinking about that. It's like, Women's World Cup, those were pretty big.
That's big.
Those were pretty big back in the day. Some of the Olympic competitions. Whether it was Simone Biles or Katie Ledecky, some track and field, I was like, that was pretty big and anticipated.
Yes.
But in terms of this sport and who the teams were, the coach for one of the teams has been in the news so much lately, kind of making a big stink, out of nothing. The players, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark.
Yep.
And what happened last year. Yeah, this wasn't the Final Four last night. It wasn't the championship game like last year. But it was still a huge matchup. And I think we can all agree it absolutely lived up to the hype.
No, it did.
It was unbelievable last night. I had so much fun watching it.
It was. It's one of those things, too, I think, when you see the times change, when you have people setting their calendars and the time to say, okay, the games start now. I have to be somewhere to watch them.
Right.
You know, yeah. not I'm yeah. just out and it's on TV. I'm going to make a conscious effort to actually sit down, go meet my guys or my girlfriends or whatever it may be, and we're going to watch the game. And that's what I found myself doing yesterday, too, was at a certain time, I said, okay, I need to have a cigar in my hand, first of all, sitting down watching this. And I think it says a lot, too, in regards to the coverage part of women's sports, that leading up to this, we had so much drama leading up to this game, whether that was the Kim Mulkey situation there yep. with the article, but what was going on, Caitlin Clark with, you know, her leading up to the all-time leading score and breaking all these records, South Carolina kind of doing their thing undefeated. And then UConn, from this perspective, as far as all year, because of the injuries they endured, mm-hmm. you didn't think that they would get back. Was this Geno's last time, maybe this particular time, not advancing in the tournament? So all these different storylines are going on that are adding to the drama to what we saw. And how many times have we seen it where you build up all this drama, but the game itself doesn't give you kind of what you were looking for?
Falls a little flat.
It falls flat, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't think we saw that.
Definitely. Nope. Neither of those games yesterday. No. It was, as far as, like you said, as far as them stepping up and giving the people what they wanted to see, these teams, I think they did just that yesterday. And I'm hoping that the women's sport continues to see a boom
mm-hmm.
based on what happened yesterday. And the funny thing is, Jimmy, like, that wasn't even the Final Four.
I know.
That was the go-to the Final
Four. That was the go-to the Final Four. Like,
and they came out swinging. I think that was so important last night.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They came out shooting the absolute lights out. Both teams, just three, 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 three. Caitlin Clark couldn't miss. Angel Reese couldn't miss. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. And at one point, I think Pat Forty tweeted it out. They were on a pace for 228 points, and they're only playing 40 minutes. It was awesome. It was everything that you could have wanted. It was such a banner night, not just for women's sports, not just for the women's basketball game in general, but just a sport night. It was an old school Twitter sports night too.
Yep.
Everyone was talking about it. My whole timeline, I'm sure everyone's timeline was just nothing but the game, nothing but that game, nothing but the women out there giving it their all. And it was just such an awesome moment to see. It was great.
The question too is, like, because of that hype, because of the LSU Caitlin Iowa connection, what does it lead to for the Final Four?
Yep.
Because you still have intriguing storylines mm-hmm. with Paige Beckers and, you know, UConn, but South Carolina. Caitlin, is she able now to be able to cut down the nets to finish off a story career with a natty, with a national championship to go along with everything else? So it's going to be interesting how the buildup to the Final Four goes, because I'll be in Phoenix covering the Final Four for Westwood One Radio, but we generally – while we're there, we end up going, having a cigar, but watching the games, you know, Friday and Sunday, trying to figure out, okay, what's what. But it's a different feeling this year.
Yeah. Do you think it's kind of been a big sports talk show and radio kind of talking point this year that Caitlin Clark needs to win a championship to – you know, solidify, cement her legacy and solidify, you know, her mark on the game. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand on that?
It's so many variables, and you guys have been around sports for a long time as far as winning. It's different when you're in a singular, if you're an athlete, if you're a golfer, if you run track, if you're gymnastics, where you control so much more of the outcome as an individual. It's so many variables that goes into a team sport in regards to winning and winning big. You know, everybody else has to be on the same page. The coaching staff has to have the correct game plan. It could be all these little nuances that take away from a great player winning or adding to ultimately winning. And that's always the challenge. Like, you got to win. Yeah, of course you got to win. But in a team sport, it's not as easy. Even when you're the best team, or maybe have the best player, that doesn't guarantee that you will ultimately win said game or said series. You know, but with any sport, don't we always talk about it? Like, in order for a legacy to be kind of cemented, you need to win.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of, I get it, but it's unfortunate because there's a lot of outstanding athletes who haven't won, but can't be let in that same room.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because they don't have championship. A championship.
And when you think of the all-time great women's players, you're talking about Diana Taurasi, like everyone who played for UConn, seemingly they all won championships. Yep. You're talking about Candace Parker, your colleague at Turner.
Tennessee, you know.
All those Tennessee teams. Talking about that. Look, even Kim Mulkey won championships when she was a player back in the day. And so, yeah, I kind of think not cement legacy. She's one of the great all-time players, obviously. Broke the all-time scoring record this year, but... be nice to have that trophy in the case if you're Caitlin Clark and you're kind of looking at her historically.
Also, guys, and I said this a few weeks ago, the bottom line is we didn't make these rules, but unless you have a title, they're never going to put you in that all-time great discussion.
Just look at Charles Barkley every single night and on Turner. Exactly. They give him grief about never winning.
If you watched football and you ever watched Dan Marino, then you know that guy was one of the greatest to ever touch a football. Yes. But because of the fact that he never won a Super Bowl, unfortunately, no one ever puts Dan Marino in that GOAT category. But if you were just to look at skill level, there weren't many better than him.
No.
But you have to have that chip to be put up on that pedestal.
And look at when you played, Jim. You played early 90s, big time college basketball. You look at the teams that did win in your era. It was Duke. It was UNLV. It was UNC, Michigan in 89, Michigan. North Carolina in 93. We remember those teams forever. Forever. Don't remember who else was in the Final Four that year. No, remember who they beat, who lost in the Elite Eight. We know who won the championship.
Yeah.
So it really does matter.
It's one of those dynamics, too, when you're a player. Just think about it from a player's perspective, that you want to ultimately reach the highest pinnacle of your sport and get there. But the steps to get there are... it's incredible what it takes to get there because there's so many things that have to go right. Like, my junior year, we were the number one seed in the Midwest, and we had to face a Michigan team. Usually, they don't like to put teams that have played together, played each other in the same kind of region where they'll meet up until a little bit later. But we beat them twice that year. But that third time, this was a different Michigan team than the freshman that we played early in the year. You go back to that Michigan championship in 89. Oh, Illinois beat them twice that year. But in the Final Four, it was Michigan that got over the top. So despite the Illini being the better team through the course of the year, on that particular day, on our game, that particular afternoon or early evening, that team was better. And I didn't get a chance to taste what a Final Four would feel like an ultimate. So that's why I say now, with Caitlin and everything that she's going through and all the expectations. Can you imagine that too, though? You're living with the expectation every game you have to perform. I'm not saying like the 41 points, but every game like that.
Oh, yeah. She
does. You're selling out football, at the practices or whatever, and everybody's coming out and there's sellouts everywhere. Heck, Gus Johnson, for us, my partner at Fox, did like three or four Caitlin games.
Yep. Yeah, this year was.
He said, Jimmy, it was bananas. Mm-hmm. The feel was just different. And imagine playing with that pressure each and every night that you go out there.
Yeah, and I think Caitlin Clark knows it. She talked about it last night about what it would mean to win a championship after coming up short last year.
Yes, we want to win the national title. That's probably what 100 other Division I basketball teams said when they started their season. And there's only one team of 360 that could end their season happy, and to me, that's what makes this sport so fun. A lot of people end disappointed, and being so close last year, I think that's what just drives you. But I know our group has given everything we got, and at the end of the day, you win, you lose. I feel like our group has given so much to this game and to this program that you can always hold your head high. But I think at the same time, that's the reason we have been able to play such good basketball, is we don't want this to end, and we want to keep coming back and working hard with each other and fighting for one more week and, extend it as long as you possibly can, I guess.
I love it. I love hearing that. I love it. Everyone talks about the scoring, the records, the 30-foot three-pointers. 12 assists last night. Underrated as a passer, the way she gets her teammates involved. She really is a complete player.
It's kind of like Luka. We were talking about that before off here. Luka Doncic. As far as high usage rate, she brings the defense out, but then she makes plays. And her ability, because she's not the quickest, not the fastest, probably not the most athletic, but her ability to beat her defender with that first step, shoulder, catch it on the move, I'm coming down in transition. Those little nuances of the game, if you really watch how she plays, how she gets open, how she utilizes picks, how patient she is off the ball in order to get open. You always, a lot of times people see is the long shots, but how does she get to that long shot? How does she set up her opponent to get open? How did she get by? All those little nuances. And what I loved about that interview was this, is that the question was directed at her, but what she kept saying was we as a team, it's never been about, well, I need to get this for my legacy. I need to be in a position, or I need to do more. It was always, well, we put ourselves in this position. We need to do that. In itself tells you a lot about her mindset on where she's always been as an individual player and why she's ultimately, you know, going to be very successful, you know, by the team aspect of it. Because it's easy to get caught up in today's world. And I didn't grow up in the social media part of it, but I'm in it now with everything being pointed at you, social media wise. All of the State Farm commercials, which are great, by the way.
I'd be wondering how many people could name another player on that team, but I guess that's kind of not the point. She's elevated everyone around her to get to this, point, and now there's two games left.
Well, this weekend is going to be...
Paige Beckers against King. I can't wait.
It's going to be awesome.
And I did their games this year. They're both just... They're ballers, both of them.
So and I know we're spending all this time talking about Iowa, but
it's worth it.
But what UConn did last night was so impressive, because Juju Watkins has been unbelievable this year. And UConn, we mentioned, fought through injuries, fought through adversity. Yeah. And now we're seeing what we saw from Paige a couple years ago when she burst onto the scene. Clearly one of the best players in the country.
But it shows you, too, game plan-wise, why Geno is this game plan-wise.
I mean, he's the GOAT women's coach.
It's what he was able to do with a lineup that was thin because of some foul trouble, but also injuries, to be able to manage that for 40 minutes and kind of execute that game plan.
Yeah.
All right, we got some great guests today. Brian Anderson, Jay Wright, Stan Van Gundy, my former coach at with the Miami Heat. And you can call the show, too, 844-204-RICH. That's call the show at 844-204-RICH. Man, I'm telling you, man, it is – we got a lot to talk about today, a lot of different sports. You know I'm a huge football fan, too, so I want to touch on that a little bit. But my man B.A. is – Brian Anderson and I go back to – Big Ten Network Day. So I'm interested to hear. He's in town for the Giants, San Francisco Giants, and the Dodgers game this evening. So
let's do it.
Looking forward to catching up with Brian. We'll be right back.
A lot of you folks who have been listening to this show know about our relationship with Game Time, which is the ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase, because you could see views from your seat. And before you buy your tickets, before you hit that purchase button, you get all in pricing, so you know everything that's into the cost of your seat, and there's no surprises at all. Now here's something you may not know about Game Time. It's the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch. Killer last minute deals, all in prices, views from your seats, and the lowest price guarantee, with Game Time taking the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem the code EISEN, you get $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there's the sneak-a-peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got-a-ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Good to see you, Shaquille O'Neal. How are you, sir?
Before we get started.
Yes.
If I take this home, will I get arrested?
The Vince Lombardi trophy?
Is this the real one? Or
that's the real one. That's a real Vince Lombardi trophy. I don't know if that's the one that's going to be given to the Rams or the Patriots this weekend, but that is a real... You want to lift it?
Well, if I lift it, I want to take it home.
No, if you... Well... then I think we're at a crossroads here.
Actually, we're not at a crossroads. Let me tell you why.
Okay, sure.
I'm not a lawyer, but I watch a lot of law shows.
Okay.
I got about 50 witnesses that seen me hit my head on your set.
Oh.
So if you just give me this, I'll let bygones be bygones.
So it's a liability issue me that turns into an even worse liability issue.
I don't want to have to call it the Shaq Eisen show.
I know that. I know that.
All you got to do is just give me this and I'll put it next to mine. This is beautiful.
I'm doing the math in my head as to how much you'd be suing me for personal liability as to how much this trophy costs, which I've been told is around $22,000.
Well, I'll be suing you for
$23,000. You want to lift it?
No, I don't want to touch it.
Okay, you sure you don't want to touch that?
Bad luck.
Bad luck for you or for...
No, to touch the trophy when you don't earn it.
I like that.
Yeah, my father used to always...
Are you serious?
Yeah, he always used to... Because, you know, like when you're a kid, you get the trophy from a local trophy shop.
Sure.
You'd be like, if you listen to me, guys, you get this. You want to touch it? Don't touch it. It's bad luck. You got to earn it.
Right.
That's why, like, you know how, like, in the NBA, when you win the Eastern Conference or Western Conference, they give you those little trophies? Yeah. I never touched it.
Never.
I never touched it, and I never celebrated.
I remember Phil did that, too, right? Yeah. Didn't you, like, when you guys won the Western Conference Finals of one of the many times you did?
Yeah, I never touched it. I never looked at it, never celebrated. This is beautiful, though.
It's a beautiful trophy. Yeah.
Well, welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Got a special guest coming on right now, my man, Brian Anderson from Turner, TNT. Oh. He's the voice of the Milwaukee Brewers as well. My partner... We just had some weekends together at the NCAA tournament. He's been stuck in a hotel for like 10 days here in LA. What's happening, BA?
You know what's funny? We go 2 weeks of the NCAA tournament. Jim Jackson refuses to read a promo. How many promos did I read? We did four games one day.
Not true.
Two the next. He won't read a promo, but now he goes on the Rich Eisen show. He's like, oh, I'll read everything you send me. No problem.
Hey, Heitz, he didn't trust me. You gave me the one read, and I knocked it off the ballpark. Heitz said, that's enough. That's enough. Not read anymore.
Just one and done. It's great to be with you. I thought you'd be sick of me by now, but you sound good, man, and you look good. Do they bring in your own chair? Or do you actually sit in the king's chair?
I'm sitting in the king's chair. And they got a little pad here, a little butt pad thing that's really good for you to sit like down that. Here. So it's almost like our chairs, you know, that we sit in. Sometimes we have to get the pad on it.
You gotta have the. Well, I need the lift because I got to see up over. Jimmy doesn't need that, but it's good, man. You're doing great. You sound good. You know, I love your show. I've been on Rich's show many times, but never with Rich.
Hey, Brian, that may be a clue for some reason.
No.
B-list as it gets, man.
Hey, listen, the whole crew is here. They heard that right now. So they're going to make sure that the next time they bring you on, Rich is in the King's show.
Oh, no. No, I'll refuse that. I'm not doing that. No. I only come on with the fill-in guys.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate it. Well, speaking about filling in, in town, Dodgers tonight. San Francisco.
Yeah, Dodgers, Giants.
For you, from a perspective, you go, you bounce back and forth. Of course, you do the game for the Brewers, but also in the national television perspective. Right now, I was just looking up some stuff on the Dodgers. For this kind of series, and you know the intensity between these two teams and what's going on, just give me a little preview to what you expect about the game.
Well, it's an early season series, but it always has, you know, there's always a little juice to it just because it is Dodgers-Giants. On TBS, we had 21, we had the Dodgers-Giants series, which was one of the great division series games. It was a best of five, and Dodgers won that series. That was the year the Giants won 107 games. So, and then the Giants kind of fell off the grid for a couple of years. The last 2 years, the Dodgers have maintained their excellence of getting to the playoffs. But, you know, the Dodgers were swept by the Diamondbacks last year. The Giants went and spent a lot of money. San Francisco lost out on the two big pieces that they wanted, which was Shohei Ohtani and Yamamoto. Those two guys end up with the Dodgers. So there's all kind of storylines, and it's always great when you get Dodgers Giants. And for our first game, so this is baseball's been going on for a week now, but it's our first game on TBS. So we're doing a doubleheader tonight. Don Orsillo and Ron Darling are in Philadelphia tonight for Reds Phillies, and then Jeff Francoeur and I and JP Morosi are here for Dodgers Giants, and then I'll go back to basketball after this. But it's great to get this series started, and for us, get our package started on TBS, and couldn't have a better setup than Dodgers Giants. They'll be at it from the start for sure. They do not like each other. They've never liked each other. Their announcers don't like each other, and their support staff don't like each other. So I was over there yesterday. So we love a little intensity this early in the season.
No, I love it too. And listen, I'm a baseball fan, but I more so from a player perspective. And I was just looking at Mookie Betts and some of the early numbers as far as his slugging percentage, RBIs leading right now, home runs. But what is it about Mookie? What intangibles do you see in him that just makes him so special?
Yeah, well, that's a big part of the story this year with the Dodgers, because Mookie Betts is making the full conversion to shortstop. And so shortstop in the major leagues, for those who don't know, in the game of baseball, but especially at the major league level, is the premium position. You need starting pitchers, obviously. Those are typically the highest paid guys. But the shortstop among the position players is the premium position, and it takes years and years of skill and training to be able to play that position. Well, Mookie Betts has been an outfielder and a Gold Glove outfielder for years. He's come back to the infield in the last couple of years, playing mostly second base. But this year, he wanted to play short, feels like he can play short, and they're going to do that. So he'll play some second base against left-handed starters, but for the most part against right-handers, like tonight, Logan Webb is pitching for the Giants, so Mookie Betts will be the shortstop. And so, you know, for him to even consider that or want to do that at this stage of his career just speaks to, A, his confidence, but also his skill level, his athleticism. He's great at everything, Jimmy. He bowls 300 games. He's the best ping pong player they have. He's a great hooper. He could probably do anything and be excellent at it. And for him to, like, it's not quite Bo and Dion wanting to play football and baseball, but it's near that inside the game, him wanting to play this position at the major league level and still carry the burden, all the offensive burden that he has to carry. And he's off to a great start. So that's going to be a real big storyline this year, is Mookie Betts converting to shortstop.
I mean, that's huge, huge commitment too, because you can't be afraid to kind of step out there, do something that's uncomfortable, a little bit different, and not think about not being able to be as successful at what you were playing before. So that says a lot, I think, about his confidence and personality. But also the team, too, kind of accepting that and kind of putting the tools behind him that he can be successful. And speaking of which, and I know you call games, of course, for the Brew Crew for Milwaukee. What are we going to expect from Milwaukee this year?
Man, they're off to a great start. I haven't actually called a game for the Brewers yet, so that'll happen Friday. I'll be back for the Brewers-Mariners series, but the Brewers have their home opener tonight, and they're off to a 3-0 start. They swept the Mets, and, you know, they've got a lot of guys that'll maybe people don't know, they're kind of like the hot fantasy team right now, the fantasy baseball team, because if you're doing your homework and you're trying to pick up certain players, there are some guys, especially in the bullpen, this Abner Uribe, this closer, throws 100 miles an hour. He's a rookie. Most people don't know who he is, but he's going to get a chance to save a bunch of games because the Brewers closer, their all-star closer, Devin Williams, is going to be out for about 3 months or so with a back injury. So they're an interesting team. Great minor league farm system, one of the best in baseball. They promoted a bunch of dudes. You know, they've got six or eight guys on their roster that have never played in the big leagues that are going to get chances throughout the year. And so they'll be an enigma. They're going to be young. So I'm sure with youth, as you know, in every sport comes inconsistency. But, man, they're super talented. They've got one of the great young players that they've ever had, a generational player, whose name is Jackson Churio. And he had a great start to his career. He just turned 20 a couple of weeks ago. And he had been given a huge contract, an 8-year deal before he ever played in the major leagues. The Brewers believe in him so much that they gave him a long-term major league contract before he ever stepped foot in the major leagues. And so this is his time. And from all accounts, and my older brother's a baseball scout, and he's seen him play too. But from all accounts, he's a special individual on and off the field. And we're getting a good look at him. So he's a guy to get excited about for sure. And the Brewers have a ton of young players that they love, and they're going to get, you know, the full opportunity to kind of prove they belong in the major leagues.
And I know it's early, you know, just getting started, probably week into it, but is there a team or teams or players that kind of we should be on the lookout for to kind of maybe flying under the radar at the beginning of the season? But I know you, yeah, I know you talked about Jackson Churio, but another player?
Yeah, I think the Detroit Tigers are a team that, you know, they're on the rise. They're going to be a team that they have great pitching. They're kind of building it the right way there. I would say the Tigers in the Central Division in the American League is, you know, it's not one of the stronger divisions. The Dodgers are obviously the favorite. The Dodgers, Braves in the National League. The Phillies are still in that picture. But, you know, I think there are some teams that could sneak up. I think like we saw with the Diamondbacks last year, Arizona's still going to be really good this year. They have a lot of young talent, so they won't be sneaking up on anybody anymore like they did last year. But I think Arizona is certainly a team to watch. And then, you know, in the American League, Baltimore is the hot team right now. I mean, I think if they were a stock, everybody would be jumping on them. They have all the pieces to be a World Series champion. They have youth. They have pitching. You know, the Brewers traded their Cy Young Award winner, Corbin Burns, to the Orioles right before the season. So they've only added to their pitching ranks that was already superb. So, yeah, if you wanted like a sleeper team, I'd say in the American League, the Tigers and the Orioles, although the Orioles made it to the postseason last year. But those would be the teams to watch. And then in the National League, I think Arizona, maybe not a sleeper just because of what they did. They went to the World Series last year, but they're still a young team. And I do like the Brewers. I actually think the Brewers could I don't think they're going to win 100 games, but I think in their division, they could certainly win that division and enter into the playoffs. And then by the time you get to the end of the season, all these young players aren't young anymore. They've been through the grind. So we'll see what happens with that. But I do like their talent for sure.
Well, good stuff, man. I want to transition real quick because I know you juggle a lot of hats, kind of like me, going back and forth between different things. But you do it in between different sports. But real quick NBA question for you, because I know as we're winding down the end of the year, a lot of positioning is going on right now, in particular in the East. Embiid coming back. They're in the eighth position right now, trying to see if they can inch up a little bit more as they head into the playoffs. Thoughts on Embiid coming back and where ultimately maybe Philly could be if he's healthy?
Yeah, well, if he's healthy, they can certainly make a run, conference finals, maybe NBA finals if he's fully healthy and plays every game in the playoffs. The problem is he's never done that. And we just don't know. And so him coming back changes the Sixers dramatically. So, you know, we'll see what he's like when he comes back. But for me, it's still Milwaukee and Boston. And then we'll kind of keep our eyes on Philadelphia to see what they're going to be like and what he's going to be like. If he is even close to 100% and he can post, you know, you do get the days off in the playoffs, which I always thought was going to be a benefit for Embiid. But, you know, all the series we've done, especially when you and I were together and when we were there for that collapse against Atlanta, he hasn't been able to do that. So until that time, we can only just speculate on what they could be. But I hope he's healthy. It'd be great for the game. It's great for him. Great for great fans in Philly, too. They need him to be healthy. So I'm curious, but the book's still out. So it's going to be fun, though. The East is not as good as the West, in my opinion. I still think Denver is the best team. I do think Oklahoma City is to be reckoned with, though. They're a young group that kind of just – we'll see how they go in the playoffs, but they kind of can beat you in any way. So I'm really high on Oklahoma City. I think Minnesota's really good as well. So some new blood in this mix is always interesting. And, you know, the playoffs, we're kind of – I'm jumping back on the NBA Thursday, and we'll stick with the NBA through the NBA playoffs. And Jimmy, you'll be a part of that too. And so it's going to be a lot of fun, man. I love this time of year because now they start playing hard. You know, you match the skill with the effort, which we don't always get in the regular season. So to see these players at this level go at it like they do, it's an awesome time of year when all the sports are kind of converging here at once.
Yeah, that's the part I love about it, too, is that we get down, you kind of separate yourselves team-wise, because there's a lot of storylines. And I'm with you on this, because in the West, at the top of the ledger with OKC youth, you're like, okay, The thing I love about OKC is this, Brian, and you can understand this, is that they're young, but they play mature. Like, everybody knows that it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's team, but then everybody, like Jalen Wilson, they kind of fit back in. Chet Holmgren, they understand how to play. That's what makes them so tough. But they haven't been through the gauntlet of winning in the playoffs yet. And that's a thing that you have to look for. The Lakers itself, you know, in that – you know, 9th, 10th position. Can they move up? Do they have to go through two games? They were there last year. Do you count Anthony Davis and LeBron James out from that perspective? Never. What's going to happen with Golden State? You know, it's so many intriguing questions. I think if you're the NBA, you love it because it's still coming down like last year to the regular season of last week or so as to positioning. Who's where, who's in the play-in game, who has number one seed. The Clippers are an interesting story. So as we melt into the playoffs, is there a storyline or two that you look at that you can say could be intriguing as we enter into the playoffs?
Yeah, well, you hit on it there because you and I talk about this all the time because every matchup that we're going to have, so we'll get into the play-in, but once we get through the play-in, no matter what happens – every matchup is going to be intense in a way. So if you're Oklahoma City and you end up drawing the Warriors, I mean, that gets your attention right away. Or you draw the Lakers and LeBron and AD right away, the top to the bottom, there's not that gap, at least from a narrative perspective or, you know, as we look at it from a television perspective, the entertainment clip is going to be high because you're going to get like high-level teams. We always go to the Lakers and the Warriors, no matter how they're playing, even though Charles Barkley wants us to eliminate Lakers games from our schedule on TNT, that's not going to happen. So right away in the West, everything we do, every matchup you're going to get 1 through 8, once the play-in is resolved, has a chance to have so much intrigue. So I love the idea that, you know, the Thunder and the T-Wolves could be matching up against the Lakers or the Warriors. Sacramento's always a blast. They've kind of elevated. So there's not that gap. I don't feel like kind of what you said because of the experience in the postseason. You know, those teams have a great chance to not only just win the series but keep advancing. You know, they tread a little water in the regular season. They put themselves in this position that they don't want to be in. But once you start with the playoffs, everything changes because you're getting – days off, sometimes multiple days off. The way it works in the first round, especially if you're one of those big market, high drawing television teams like the Lakers or the Warriors, you may play a game, day off game. You may get 3 days off. So the first round, there's no benefit to youth. So if you're Minnesota and Oklahoma City, you're not getting the benefits of being young and fresh legged because of all the days off in between. That really starts to show up in the second round, and then there's the grind of the playoffs shows up in the conference finals and then the NBA finals, but not in the first round. So it's wide open in the first round, in my opinion. All of those teams you're looking at there could stake a claim and make a run at least to the conference finals, in my opinion. I think like Denver, LA, like the Clippers, your team, Jimmy, if they kind of get it figured out, they could certainly make a run and get to an NBA finals this year. So wouldn't surprise me with any of those guys.
Yeah, it's interesting too, Brian, because as we come down the stretch, it's just so many questions. But again, if you're Adam Silver in the NBA, this is what you want. You want intrigue. You want drama. You don't want it to be like, okay, well, we knew it was going to be Cleveland and it was going to be Golden State in the finals. So why watch? Now, I think with the play-in game and those games mean so much in regards to teams trying to shift up. They don't want to fall back from 6th to 7th, so they still have to play. If I'm in 11th and I'm only a game and a half out, I don't quit. I don't rest my guys. I'm trying to get into it. So the drama and the intrigue after the questions were asked, does it make sense to have it? I think we've answered that. So
yeah, and remember of the days when we were doing LeBron and the Heat against Charlotte as an 8 seed, which there's no way Charlotte was going to even win 2 games in that series. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. For us, for television, it couldn't be better. Even the teams that are in the 8-9 window or the 7-8 window, ultimately, they're all going to have entertainment value in both conferences, too. So, yeah, I love the playoff. It's going to be great, man. We're going to have a blast.
No, we're going to have a great time. And also, I'm glad that yesterday, I know you were a little worried that it may be raining and take away your golf game and everything like that.
How many people live here, Jimmy?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm still asking myself that same question. Like, why did I move back to L.A.? I don't understand why I'm paying these high taxes for stuff like this. Yes. But you told me this before we get off. Because Brian, for everybody to know, he's an avid golfer, hits it straight down the middle. He doesn't stray left or right like me. He has to look for my ball with me. But you were the low man yesterday at 75 at Bel Air?
No, I was the high man. I was the worst golfer of the group.
A 75?
Yeah, he shot a 75.
What?
And he was the one that was carrying the cart. He was getting water for everybody.
Yeah, I'm the one paying all the bets off at the end.
Hey, I didn't know you had it like that.
No, BA has it. He has it.
Hey. Dang. The only time I don't play good golf is when I play with Jimmy, because if you sit in the cart with Jimmy and he's pounding on these cigars, I'm cigar drunk by the ninth hole. I can't even see straight. I look like I come out of a Cheech and Chong movie.
It's a method to my madness. In order for me to get some strokes and to win some, I got to throw you off a little bit. But he's not going to tell you. He gets taught by a pro. See, he's a little different. It was a Trevor, right? Immelman, right?
Well, Trevor Immelman and Kurt Byram was the guy that really. But I used to work for Golf Channel, but I've tried to pass on some of those lessons to Jim Jackson.
Because
Jimmy and I are similar athletes, and we look the same build, same strength. It translates well, I think. Translates well. I remember one time we did play. Remember, Jimmy, we played with Mike Breen at Wingfoot, and Jimmy didn't have his clubs, so he had to use like a member. Like, honestly, it's a member terrible. Who passed away.
It was terrible. FedEx—they lost my clubs. I mean, no. When I tell you they lost it in the distribution warehouse. They said, Mr. Jackson, what does it look like? I said, it's in a big golf bag with my name on it. How can you miss it?
He looked like he was using the plastic toy set out of the Toys R Us, and his giant hands and his cigar. He looked amazing.
I looked the part.
The golf. He was leaning down to his, like reaching down to his knees to make these, and they were like regular shafts. He was.
But it was Wingfoot. Mike invited us, Wingfoot. I had to do it. And we ended up getting great pizza. Remember, we stopped and got the great pizza afterwards, so it was all worth it. Man. Hey, Brian.
We worked hard for that one.
We worked hard.
Man, my favorite scene, if we have 2 seconds, I want to tell you about Jim Jackson, his work ethic. We show up. We're doing a Big Ten Network game. First time I ever worked with Jim. They're like, oh. And I covered Jimmy as a player when I was working for the Spurs. He shows up, Lincoln, Nebraska, in a snowstorm, rolling in a Toyota Corolla, which was the rental car. And I said, because we didn't have the high budget that the Rich Eisen show has at Big Ten Network. And I said, you know what? This guy's dedicated. He wants to be a broadcaster. That was like 15 years ago. Jim comes rolling in this Toyota Corolla. Got his hand up. I'm here. My favorite team. I'm here. In a snowstorm in Lincoln. And you're still at it. Look at you now.
And look, now I'm in the king's chair, living in L.A., paying high taxes, brother. That's
what I'm doing. One of the greatest college basketball analysts who ever lived, Jim Jackson. Every time I work with Jimmy, I tell him this all the time, that we'll go to a break and I'll say, Jim, you're amazing, man. The stuff you see, and like I get text messages all the time from people who watch and say, Jimmy's teaching me so much, and he teaches all of us. Jimmy, you're world class, man, and I've had a blast these last 2 weeks. I always love working college hoops and March Madness with you, so you know what I think about you. But for those who don't appreciate the value of Jim Jackson, man, he is one of the elite broadcasters in the game, and it all goes back to him like putting in the effort and wanting to do it that way, rocking in the Toyota Corolla.
Yeah, you know I appreciate it, brother, and we always have a great time. But listen. Enjoy the rest of your stay here in L.A. The game tonight, safe travels back, and, you know, hopefully we'll cross over sometime. I'll see you on TV during the NBA playoffs, but nothing else. I will try to get to Milwaukee. I keep saying this summer to come play some golf with you so you can pay, and I can just come and enjoy everything.
That's a done deal. Red carpet treatment. Yeah,
I appreciate it. Red carpet. I need a big pretzel, too.
We got room for you.
All right. Appreciate you, BA. Thanks a lot, my man.
You guys, good to be with you, JJ.
Right. Thanks, BA. Be good.
Hey, he is
the best.
He's the best.
Love it. 75. Jeez.
I know. We got a commercial break. Let's Are we doing something here?
Yeah, let's go to break.
Right, let's go to break. We'll be back. We'll come back and join us. We'll be back.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
How did you wind up at Weber State, Damian? How did that happen?
Just didn't get recruited. I remember I had a good summer on the circuit in Weber State. You know, at one of the games, you know, there was one coach at the game, and it was Coach Randy Ray from Weber State. And they started recruiting me hard and, you know, developed a relationship with him. And it wasn't like no big-time schools came along or nothing like that, so I just kind of went with the people that I developed some trust with and, you know, people I was comfortable with.
And you were the number zero representing the letter O from Oakland, and obviously now you play in Oregon. Do you feel now that you play basketball in Portland, in the Pacific Northwest, beautiful state of Oregon, that you're overlooked, that this is a theme for you, Damian Lillard, your whole life, that you're overlooked?
I think that's been my story, you know, just, I guess, being looked past. You know, I don't want to say overlooked because I think people see what I do. They just look past it. In high school, like I was saying, on the circuit, I played against all the best players and I was having big games, you know, so I remember seeing, you know, all these high major schools at the game, seeing players on the opposite team. So, you know, they had to see what I was doing. They just looked past me, you know, because they was looking at something else. Same thing in college. You know, I would have big games when I played against big schools, and they was there to see somebody else. So, you know, and I think now being in Portland, you know, people got to stay up late on the East Coast to watch us play. We don't play on TV, you know, two and three times a week. So I think it's easy to look past it. So, I mean, I think that's just been my story.
Well, welcome back. And BA is my guy. Listen, we talked about all this other stuff, and we didn't even really talk about what's coming up with the men's college.
Yeah.
This weekend.
That's right. What did you think about that from over the weekend?
It was well, the weekend before, Brian and I, we were in Charlotte at that region. Okay. And on paper, the game seemed like they would be very competitive, but they weren't in regards to shooting them with some blowouts. But this weekend for us,
oh, yeah.
I mean, with, you know, Alabama and Tennessee, Alabama, Clemson, North Carolina, mm-hmm. see that crew, it was just like, okay, can Alabama, Nate Oates, you know, get this thing done? And they were able to figure some things out about Clemson. And I thought Clemson was a well-coached team. They played extremely hard. Mm-hmm. Coach Brownwell had his guys, those guys playing really well. So it was one of those weekends where it's like, okay, you thought it was going to be North Carolina and Arizona, but it wasn't. But it still gave you something, some meat to kind of go off of. So I'm looking forward to DJ Burns is my favorite player right now in college. Come on.
Yeah. I text Chris probably the first 10 minutes of the first game. I said, DJ Burns is my new favorite player.
He's the best.
You know, it's just, you got to love him.
Is it a great story, though? I mean, just everything that, listen, you're talking about you have to win the ACC tournament.
Yep.
In order to get in.
Right.
And to secure your contract if you coach. Okay.
That's true.
So they've won 9 games in a row of do or die games. Think about it.
You cannot lose.
They couldn't lose. You win 9 in a row. And now you find yourself in the Final Four.
I mean, it's
crazy.
Great story.
It is a great story. And, you know, like I said, I just love the guy. Like, I'm a fan of the big man, Jim.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about basketball love before mm-hmm. the show. I like when two big guys are just down there going at it, controlling the game. And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Oh,
DJ and Zachy going at it. You know, a 7-inch difference, though.
I know,
make
man.
Him look very small. But, you know, I don't know, Chris. I just can't wait. I can't wait to see this matchup, man.
I had not watched a lot of Purdue basketball.
Yeah,
I was not familiar with this dude just being as digest. I kind of thought he was just kind of a big guy. He's out there, but
no.
40 and 16, I was just like.
He's grown. He reminds me a lot of Yao Ming. He's built like Yao. Now, Yao could shoot it a little bit better, 15 feet from the free throw line. And Yao's passing was probably better. But Zach has grown, by covering him. He's grown so much as an intelligent basketball player. Seeing all the double coverages, how to read out of it. And the thing I say about college basketball is this all the time. Big men can eat in college.
Yeah.
You're not going to see it in the pros, but in college, whether that's Shibway, whether that's Zach Edey, whether that's Luke Garza, you can get it. So we got a lot to talk about coming back. And stay with us. We'll be right back.
We're still unbroken.
We're still here.
You know, there's a wrestler named Big E in the WWE, and one of his things is he doesn't like the little guys who flip and do wrestling. He likes big meaty men slapping meat, as Big E once said. That's what you're going to get with Zach Burns and Zach Edey and DJ Burns. You'll get some big meaty dudes down there battling in that low block, and it's just going to be old school basketball at its finest. And I can't wait either.
Think about Burns, his passing.
What chance are you realistically giving NC State, though?
I'll give him a chance.
Okay.
Oh, big time. Because in a one-game scenario, all it takes is 2 to 3 minutes or a 3 to 5 minute change shift where a team feels really good. Mm-hmm. Purdue, from the perspective of how they play, they're systematic. If you can break up the rhythm of them offensively, then you have a better shot. But I will say, their backcourt with Fletcher Lawyer and Braden Smith has grown so much since the disappointment of last year. They've gotten bigger, stronger. They understand now what the responsibilities. And Lance Jones, him coming in as a third option, provides some coverage when they're not making shots. So this is a different Purdue team than last year because they learned so much about what it takes. But I tell you what, you can never count an underdog out because all the pressure is on Purdue. It's not on North Carolina State.
True. And then sometimes, guys, as we know, and it happened with the Wolfpack in 83, sometimes you just go on a ride, man, and it's already been written. The story was already written.
My man, I can't wait for this one. Jay Wright.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you were only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.